Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Sci Fighters. Tonight's podcast, we're going to be talking about things that we love, what got us into geekdom, and also talk about remakes, reimaginings, prequels, sequels, basically the things that we loved, and how that has been transformed over the past 20, 30 years.
I love you.
I have not changed over 30 years.
Yeah, you have, man.
Yeah, I've lost all of my hair.
Oh, my God.
It's very quickly gone away.
Well, I'm Red Shirt Lucas.
I'm Ashley.
Jeez, God, come on.
Yeah. I was waiting for the counterclockwise. I'm Adam.
And I'm Nathan. And tonight we have with us a contributor to New Monster.
Yes, I'm Kevin.
We call you contributors so we don't get too close too fast.
I see how this works.
Gotta test the waters. I mean,
we don't know you.
No.
I mean, I know you.
That's okay. Well, I mean, I felt closer being touching legs to almost everyone. That makes everything much better.
Well, that's how you make a perfect podcast. Everyone has to be touching. I don't know if you guys podcast at home, but if you're not consistently touching, you're podcasting wrong.
And we're off to a great start. All right, so today we're talking again about remakes, reimaginings, etc., etc. Last time we talked a little bit about what got us started. Ashley talked about some of his early influences, and Lucas mentioned his wonderful little man cave or boy sanctuary. Ashley, why don't you get us started? What are some of your early influences?
Yeah, so basically...
Are we in church? Why are you talking to us like you're a minister?
I don't know.
You're even dressed like a youth pastor right now.
He doesn't have pointy shoes, so no.
Oh, no. Wear your cowboy boots. Yeah. I got to get in touch with the youth of our generations.
I left those back in my parents' basement.
Everybody turn in your Bibles. All right. So, turn in your Bibles to Ashley. Ashley, go ahead.
The strangest book you'll ever read.
The Gospel of Nerd, Chapter 4.
So, I'm obviously the nerdiest of us.
That's a lofty claim.
It is a lofty claim. But,
proud of you.
So, my whole life, I've been, you know, watching Star Wars and collecting Master of the Universe figures, and of course I go
say it. You've been a Doctor Who
fan? I've been a Doctor Who fan since I was 2.
Yeah, waiting for it.
I
feel you should start there. I mean, that's yeah, that's the beginning. I mean, come on.
So, yeah, it really is. But, I mean, so these kinds of things mean a lot to me in that respect. I mean, you've got, especially Doctor Who to some extent, because I have a history of, watching it on PBS with my dad. Like, that Saturday night was Doctor Who night for us, so we would go and we'd record it, and then we'd watch it, and we'd sometimes wake up on Sunday morning or Sunday night or whatever, and when we got to watch it and watch what we recorded, and it was a big deal. So that culture.
What about those times you didn't wake up?
I was focusing more on waking up Sunday night. Like, man.
Well, I didn't wake up, man. I'd watch it Sunday night.
That's a real ranger.
Yeah.
2 years old and already shutting the streets down. That's impressive.
Wow. Yeah, man.
So, all that stuff is, those kinds of things are really important to me. That kind of science fiction adventure, pop culture kind of stuff. You know, after Doctor Who, it was Star Wars and those kinds of things, and then eventually getting away from that kind of sci-fi thing. But Monty Python, I think you graduate to that, or I did when I was older, and those kinds of things just stuck with me and have kind of made me who I am in a way. I don't know if that's good or bad, but here I am.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be thankful or cursing.
Well, you seem to be doing all right. I mean, people do like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
You're bronzed at work.
That's true.
I am bronzed. Very awkwardly so.
I got to raise my eyebrow for that.
That doesn't even look like you.
Uh-oh.
Well, it does look like me if I were a chipmunk.
It literally looks like Ashley in Carbonite. What are you saying, though, got you to where you are now? As a...
Never growing up.
As a nerd master.
Yeah, what are some of your biggest influence? What are some of those things that, if you were to narrow down, let's say, the top three influences?
Yeah, the top three, I mean, I would have to say Doctor Who, number one. Then something like...
Blaxploitation?
you know, probably the action figures that I grew up with, things like that. Those things that you can... I grew up, like, telling stories with those, and so that kind of...
Oh, a lot of kids call that playing, Ashley.
Yes, I know.
But, it's called a childhood.
So, and then, you know, like Star Wars and those kinds of things as well. So those would be my top three, I would say. Flash Gordon would be in there with Star Wars, just space opera in general, something that's...
There yeah, we you go. Got thrown the knockoff, so...
Yeah, you know. But you, well, you, technically Star Wars is the knockoff there.
That is what I meant, yeah. Is that you got to throw in... Yeah.
Take that, George Lucas. Actually, he doesn't have to anymore. He's like, I don't own it. Who cares?
Take that, Disney.
You nerds have to leave me alone now. I sold off. I sold off. That's not even a thing. I'm not good at talking.
Everyone loves your talking, Lucas.
That's Says the people that refuse to subscribe to the new podcast. Sci-Fighters.
That is us.
We are New Monster, and this is Sci-Fighters.
I feel like we need a blaster noise every time somebody says that. Yeah, there you go.
But not that one.
Yeah,
not
like
that
one. But not that one. Like an actual one.
So if you could get your blaster.
More of the rifle, not the
pistol. Master Blaster.
Love Mad Max.
What about
that one? Sure, yeah. Well, now, when we talk about influences, what exactly are you categorizing? Like, how my personality is, or how that led to what I do for a living? Like, what are we talking about as far
as... Whatever you feel like is the biggest influence. So if you feel like something that has influenced what you are currently doing for a career has a huge part to do with your personality, then obviously that's going to be a pretty big one.
Gotcha. Well, I grew up playing with, like, G.I. Joe figures, and then somewhere around... the age of 7, I shifted to video games and never went back. So I became less of a, like, you know, textile, have to have something in my hand with, like, a fake gun, to having buttons to press to shoot a fake gun on the TV screen.
An even faker gun.
Yes. Faker gun that had more noises attached.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Adam, yes. Because you are perfect for our new drones.
Thank you.
If you want to kill things with buttons.
Or if you want a job at Amazon.
That's right.
True. Or if you want to kill things for Amazon.
Yes. But honestly, my first like taste of sci-fi happened with Star Wars. It was when they were showing them on television, and I saw Luke Skywalker upside down in the ice cave with the big, is it a Wampa? Is that the correct term?
Yes.
One time I didn't know the name of it, and Ashley said I was useless. So I'm always trying to make sure that I
did. I really?
Yes, you really did say that.
That sounds like something terrible you would say to one of your friends.
You're useless.
Sounds exactly like something you'd say. Anyway,
so that kind of got me really interested in sci-fi. I've never seen anything like that.
Person.
Well, you're the evil villain.
Apparently.
Yeah. You're the evil one of the group.
It's that mustache.
Somebody has to be.
I'm loud, obnoxious. You're evil.
And I'm the one that gets yelled at. So,
And I'm the one that tries to make it a very safe environment.
Yes.
No, God, that doesn't work at all.
Anyway.
And then poor Kevin.
So,
silently.
I just watch it all crash and burn, which is the way I like it. I'm the sadistic one then.
So all of that led to me really enjoying things that were kind of like reality, but were just slightly off, so you never exactly knew what was going on. And I think that through, like, RPGs, through television, through things I watch, I like things that are somewhat close to reality, but still have that suspension of disbelief to where there's something not quite right, because I like the element of surprise, like there's rules that you don't understand. And so so movies like that, stories like that, games like that really intrigue me.
Can you give an example? Because I'm completely lost of what you're saying.
Okay, for instance, my favorite video game that I think I've ever played was Final Fantasy VII. And so that takes place in, like, a world, but it's kind of like a dystopian society. So you have buildings, but then you have a guy with a big machine gun arm, and you have like these crystals you can put in your weapons that give like magical powers that allow you to do stuff. But yet there's still a lot of dialogue and like human struggle within this game. So it's like this world that isn't like Cleveland, Tennessee, or isn't like Atlanta, Georgia, or isn't...
It's not! Yes.
But it's like, you can see the society.
You don't know Machine Gun Joe?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have like a hover ship that I can just take around to the Golden Saucer and go and ride like the air balloon or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's like... There's like portions of things that are reality, and there's portions of things that are just a step above, but don't seem that out of whack, I guess, with reality. Does that make any sense?
Well, it seems like you missed out on the Obama bill cash for hovercraft.
Yeah, yeah, the affordable hovercraft. Act. Yeah,
hovercraft, yeah. For clunkers.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so, no, yeah, I
Obamacraft.
I got mine. I mean,
I did see a guy who built a DeLorean and flew it across the San Francisco Bay as a hovercraft. So, saw that recently. It was a Kickstarter project.
That's my passion.
Yeah, yeah,
that is money well spent.
What?
Kickstarter was. Those yeah. Starving children in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
That just...
Yeah. Shut your mouth. We
I'm
love
sorry.
Yeah.
Kickstarter.
So do I, and I'm just jealous that I wasn't in the DeLorean.
Yeah.
That's jealousy
mm-hmm.
speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Make other people feel worse when I'm
But
jealous.
The question is, did he get to 88 miles an hour?
No, it can only go 45.
Oh, then what's the point? He doesn't
only
matter.
Went, only went halfway back.
And did, was it a did it have like was it like DeLorean to look like the movie?
He
did it have a flux capacitor?
First thing or third?
Yeah, no flux capacitor, and it has no brakes,
but
and
the it's question not street is, legal. The question is, what happened? What would happen
if I needs to start a Kickstarter for some brakes?
What would happen if I reverse the polarity of the neutron flow?
That
you would get kicked back into Doctor Who.
Yeah, well,
or you might crash into a ship because it's unmonitored on the San Francisco Bay.
Well, yeah. Can I segue and say that that's my second reason for passion of science fiction is Back to the Future.
Mm.
I love that film, and
yeah, it's a great movie.
Do you have passion for science fiction?
Passion,
you said?
Passion?
I need you to clarify passion for science fiction.
Let me just say this. I was going back through when you guys were saying yours, and I was trying to think of the first science fiction film that I ever saw, and I believe it was...
1955. I was with Lorraine.
Sipping a cocktail, and... No,
Or a Pepsi. Don't get sorry. Crazy.
New Pepsi.
Pepsi-free. Okay.
And in second grade, I did watch an HBO showing of Time Cop. And that changed my life drastically. And yeah, that's right, Time Cop.
Time Cop.
That come on.
Mark Hamill, right?
Yeah.
Was it Mark Hamill?
Did you just say naked? No.
Yeah, was it when he jumped up and did the splits on the kitchen counter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, every movie.
That,
oh, no, that's true.
God
that
bless him.
That was a different movie.
But that, that really...
yours had lasers.
Image of him naked...
Yeah.
Like stretched out across the counter, was embedded in my brain,
and that's
and
what
I
knew, got.
And I needed more.
And you're like, and I love sci-fi. And
that's actually
dudes.
My passion is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I gotta go.
He's a naked Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Perfect. So, Universal I'm gonna, Soldier.
Yeah, I'm gonna change my perspective now. Passion for Jean-Claude.
Mm.
But definitely that for some reason kickstarted. Just enjoying weird stuff like that.
So it was literally Time Cop.
Yeah, that was the first sci-fi.
The VHS that we watched.
Yeah. At our uncle's house.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
And the upstairs bedroom. You see what you've done?
And it had a Google cart.
But the question is, in that movie, yeah. Did he do the most epic of splits?
Splits?
Of what?
Splits.
Splits.
Oh, splits.
Splits. Oh, okay.
Ashley's been trying out a lot. Or a few. I shouldn't say a lot. But he's been trying out a few impersonations lately. So, guys, give him some love on the internet about how much you love it and want to hear more impersonations from Ashley.
Please don't.
And then third,
oh, there's more?
Yeah.
No, the first
we
two.
We need the three. Yeah,
well, I want to just... tap in and say because that really got me into wanting to watch better film.
What can dare you?
Time yeah, I know,
dude.
I know.
What about Time the cryogenic freeze kick shatter leg? That was bad. I'm not
sorry.
Good
was that
talk.
The name of a movie?
That sounds
as Jean-Claude
awesome.
Van Damme.
I'm stupid sometimes.
No, but then I think we got into watching like Aliens and Alien, and that really boosted things up. Blade Runner. And
Space
then,
Ghost Coast to Coast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. And
then, right, that is way more than three.
Well, 2001 Space Odyssey, of course. Perfect.
Wait, when did you see that, though? You weren't watching that when you were 9?
12.
Are you serious? You saw 2001 when you were 12?
You know what? Something weird about 2001 Space Odyssey.
You got a nice brain.
Is in the 70s, which is like, it was like 8 years after it came out.
Yeah, Jack Kirby, like 40-something years ago.
Jack Kirby did a rendition in comic books of it, and it's the weirdest, it's like marked as the weirdest science fiction comic book ever made. Because it started out as like a version of the movie, and then it just splits off, and they tell these weird stories that have nothing to do with it at all, and they like comicize it, and everyone's like, Jack Kirby is the worst person to do a version of that movie because their styles are so completely different, like the Kubrick style and the Jack Kirby style.
Yes,
it doesn't match at all. And just side note, sorry.
It might have had something also to do with the LSD style of Jack Kirby around that time. If you know Stanley what I mean.
Kubrick, he was so clean.
Wasn't he?
Right?
Wasn't he? Who's Stanley Kubrick? Exactly. Can you fill me in? Movie geek?
Can I hate you so much.
Can you?
He is a very famous movie director.
Who did 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Who did 2001 Space Odyssey and Eyes Wide Shut.
Mm-hmm.
Clockwork Orange.
The Shining.
Did he do The Shining? Yes.
Yeah, that's Kubrick, man.
The original one, not the remake.
Yeah, yeah. With Jack Nicholson?
Yeah,
the original first half of AI. Yeah.
First
half.
So the first 3 hours of it.
That right, masterpiece.
What about you? What were some of your early influences? Three big ones.
I have pictures of me being three, and I am tearing up some He-Man action figure action. So right there, space opera was on my radar because He-Man in the early 80s, it had to have been 1984. I was three. So it had to have been 1984. Christmas, I'm playing with my He-Man action figures. He-Man is set in space. For those of you that do not know, because there are people that do not know, a barbarian in space, and as Ashley will attest, there is literally almost nothing better than that.
Than space barbarians.
Space barbarian. Amazing idea.
Just, but I have no idea about any of that.
Right, you have no idea. Do not watch our episode 000 of Collecting Nostalgia. You will not see a huge collection in public of Ashley's Masters of the Universe collection.
Or any of the original podcasts.
Not at all.
Not podcasts. Vlogs.
So those early cartoons were really important because around that time you have Jason the Wheeled Warriors, which
I have in that drawer.
Is sci-fi machine plant based action. Oh, also magic. Also wizards are in it too. So those cartoons would be the beginning of this. Also, I was being babysat and I remember distinctly these two movies were being shown before I can remember any movie I'd ever really seen science fiction wise. I had to have been maybe four or five years old. And our babysitters came over. My sister's 2 years older than me. And I remember sitting on somebody's lap in my dad's bark lounger. And we began watching the Ewok Adventure.
Oh.
So before I saw Star Wars, I saw the Ewok Adventure. And I really felt bad for Sindel. Okay. And
is this the battle for Endor? Or is it the first one?
It's the first one. It's the Ewok Adventure. Like, okay. Come on. Yeah.
Sorry.
Please. And it freaked me out whenever the brother got his arm bit by the monster in the tree. Free on YouTube right now. Go to YouTube. Ewok Adventure. Watch it. If you can.
Is that the one where the kid gets trapped under the lake and can't get out? Or is that a different one?
Oh, God. That's scary. I don't know.
That's the one I remember from the Ewok Adventure.
Okay, well, maybe.
I remember
the giant spiders at the end in the cave? Oh, that's, no. I was scared. I hid behind. And then after that, we had a double bill. Enemy Mine. Louis Gossett Jr., you've never been more beautiful, baby. Uncle! I tried to watch Enemy Mine in the past 5 years. it's so melodramatic. Help me, Kevin. Who's in it? Louis Gossett Jr. and Dennis Quaid.
I'm afraid.
I got it. Dennis Quaid.
Oh, no.
At times, maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seemed like it was getting a little bit alien, human, homoerotic. And then, spoiler alert, Louis Gossett Jr. has a baby. And they're the only two surviving, like,
that race was asexual.
A sexually active?
Yeah.
That's where... Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's my first foray into science fiction. Anything earlier than that, I can't really remember, besides what almost everybody in their 30s remembers, which is Star Wars on TV or somebody renting Star Wars. And I remember loving Star Wars. Not so much that I wanted to know everything about it, but just I really appreciated that because it reminded me of fun adventures like Indiana Jones, which I think we all kind of associate with, not breaking it down into parallels, but just associating adventure and serial adventure fun with that. I mean, I have my hangups now.
You also associate it with Secret of the Incas.
That's
some people do.
That's actually for this podcast, what you just said, that we're going to be getting into, which is remakes, reimaginings, and prequels, sequels.
Yeah, pretty much anything talking about the source material and how it has been either changed or redone.
Spoofs, even, I guess, would fit into that.
Spoofs,
I don't even think we talked about that, but yeah.
All of those things.
But that was it for me. So, I mean, I fit nicely. I'm nestled nicely in with the generation now of how these things are blowing up and how I appreciate the new cartoons that are coming out that do touch on the really bizarre, like, Adventure Time. Things like that deal with space adventure, just banana LSD acid trip.
Interesting thing about that, you mentioned the cartoons that are coming out now. One of the really interesting things about that is the fact that so many people that are making those cartoons now are the people who grew up with them, the people that are our age or a little older.
Right.
And they grew up with He-Man, they grew up with the Ninja Turtles. I mean, the people that are making the new Ninja Turtle cartoon are all people who were involved with that as they played with the toys and things like that. So it's really cool to see that level of...
And they actually seem to care about character development, which blows the older ones out of the water, because the reimaginings of these things have character development, which actually adds a third dimension to a cartoon, even though the cartoon is CGI. Ooh.
Well, I mean, it is amazing. Real quick, before we get into that, I just realized that I've not actually said what my three are.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I should probably do that.
You know what? Red shirt doesn't outrank Captain? Weird.
I know, right? Well, see, we're sending you in first, so that if they hate what you said...
Yeah, I'm going to take all the hits. They'll turn it off and never listen to a word you have to say. Bad move.
Well, that way, when I just completely destroy it, I at least can't be blamed for it.
True.
Well, and because two of mine... are actually ones that have been mentioned already. G.I. Joe. I want to say yes so bad. But I can't. I'm so sorry. No, first one would probably be G.I. Joe. This would definitely be something that I'm more of a geek on rather than a nerd. No way I could tell you all of the characters. I could tell you maybe four of them.
That's all you need.
That is all you need. But loved it. You know,
Snake Eyes, Duke, Cobra Commander, and Zartan.
Destro. Anyway.
Destro and the Baroness practicing the clowns.
No.
What?
Every time. Every single time.
Is that something I'm supposed to know? What was that?
No,
that's we'll talk about it later.
Should know.
Is that a song you learned at church camp?
No.
Space camp.
Yes. They did a dramatic interpretation of that song.
Barbarian space camp.
Yes. No, G.I. Joe, loved it, grew up in the cartoon. I remember it being a lot more violent than it was, which is a disappointment now going back and watching it and realize none of them can hit anything. But it was for kids, so what can you do? The next one, obviously, gotta be Star Wars. You know, Lucas, like you said, we all grew up on it. All of us love Star Wars.
Yeah, even by accident.
Yeah, it is one of the first movies I remember seeing.
Oops.
Yeah, can't really remember when exactly I saw it, but I know it was very, very early. Like, it's hard for me to remember a time before I saw Star Wars.
Did you watch them out of order? because the first one never came on television, but the other two did. I didn't realize there was a first one until much later.
You mean the fourth one, Adam?
Well, I'm sorry. Episode four.
Excuse me.
I'm so sorry.
I think that I actually did see them in order, because I remember caring about what happened to the point where there was that big reveal, and I'm keeping some sort of secrecy.
Don't spoil it.
Out there
don't spoil Star Wars
in the last 30 years. No, Star Wars loved it. Star Trek, more so the Next Generation than the original series.
I agree with that, yeah.
In part because that one was what was on when I was growing up.
Wait, what did you just say?
Star Trek,
the Next Generation. Next Generation.
Over the original series.
Yeah.
Wait, you're saying
so Picard,
what? You're saying better?
This is one of his influences. This is like what he grew up on.
Yeah, I saw a couple
that
episodes.
That makes me sad for you.
I saw episodes of the original series.
Because the original series is the bomb,
but
yo.
But Next Generation was on every week because it was what was on at the time.
Yeah, this is my impression of the Next Generation. Hey, you guys like episodes of just all talking? Awesome. Hey, welcome to Star Trek, The Next Generation. We're just going to talk to each other melodramatically the whole time. Hey, do you guys want to see some sweet action? Nah.
And every once in a while, say, number two.
And don't forget Riker sitting very, very awkwardly in chairs.
Number two, we're out of toilet paper.
Make it so.
Oh, yes. I know that's already three, but I'm going to throw in a fourth one just because it has definitely influenced me a lot. Don't know if I would really put it in the category of sci-fi, but Looney Tunes.
Mm.
You know, Bugs Bunny, Taz.
You mean like, what are they called? The
cartoons?
Dodgers of the 21st and a half century?
There were parts of that were sci-fi.
Marvin the Martian?
In general, all of Looney Tunes was not. But huge influence on me.
That also... Sorry, Adam, to cut you
would
off.
Would be a reimagining.
I have a joke.
Yeah. Imagine that.
About dynamite. All right, it's blown. Forget it.
So, for the record,
I never actually got to say my third influence, which would be Lord of the Rings. So that's actually pretty pivotal to where I am now. But we got caught up on video
that
games.
That is true.
So
that's what we love. That's what got us here.
So what you're saying, Adam,
mm-hmm.
is you're a gay wizard? Is that... So,
define gay.
Very wizard. We know what that is.
Define gay wizard. what's wrong, Nathan? Am I derailing your podcast?
No, it's I have another joke that
you cannot say.
For better judgment, because I am keeping to myself.
We are trying our best to never get an explicit rating, to not say Sunday school
it's
words.
It's not so much an explicit rating as a wildly inappropriate rating.
Oh, because those are real?
Yeah.
You pilot this ship well, Captain. All right.
Can we go where I want? So, back to the topic of remakes, reimagining, sequels, prequels, spinoffs, spoofs.
And now we get into the podcast.
30 minutes into what we're talking about. Wow, we're good.
Well, I happen to love Marlon Wayans' A Haunted House. That's a good spoof. Excitement brews because they're making a sequel.
Really?
Another Haunted House.
That's fun?
Yeah, it was, but they cut out Cat Williams because he slapped a man at Target. Cat Williams, stop doing PCP.
But it's so fun.
No kids, it's not. This is Lucas from New Monster saying, just say no to PCP.
But yes to five cocaine.
God bless
is
your bones.
Is reimagining the same as reboot? Because those terms are kind of used, like they rebooted the Spider-Man series. But it's not exactly a reimagining of the old one. It's like a take on a different version of the comic book. So,
yeah, I would put those into two different categories.
I would say that the Spider-Man is a reboot because it's following Spider-Man canon now.
Well, I would say though, I would go as far as to say the new version of Spider-Man is a little more of a reimagining in that they took it more of like a Batman route. If you see the, it's much more they kind of well. Reimagining to an extent, it's a different take on it than the first franchise of movies. So it's got a much darker tone in that respect, and it's got that vigilante tone where, yes, Spider-Man's a vigilante no matter how you look at it.
Definitely.
But it's not usually portrayed that way, and he wasn't portrayed that way as much in those that first franchise of the movie. But as much as he has in this one.
What would you say is the difference between a reimagining and a reboot?
With the Spider-Man, though, I'm basing saying it's a reboot off of the comics themselves. Because it seems like they're taking the new movies by... Who's doing the new movies? The director?
Mark Webb.
Okay, Webb. right. Okay. They're taking it mostly based off... Heavily based off, I would say, Ultimate Spider-Man, correct?
Yes.
Right?
Or is it the Amazing Spider-Man?
So it fits in canon with the comic books, as well as Nolan's Batman, whereas something else didn't come out of the comics at all, which would be actually what they did with Superman this year, or last year, right? But I mean, you don't read Superman being a complete, like, a-hole ever, unless, like, Red Kryptonite or something.
See, I don't know if I can call it a reboot, because it's going from a comic book to a movie based on that definition. Like, it wasn't like a movie in the 70s. They're doing the exact same storyline back now in the 2000s. Superman, I would say, was a reboot, because they're clearly restarting the same kind of storyline, the same kind of thing. And they've changed how things happen, but it's the same basic thing. This is kind of taking a different take on the comic books, in my opinion.
But he's not acting like Superman, which makes me think it's a reimagining of Superman himself. Because to me, a reboot would be same guy, just it kind of looks different. Like, it's still chocolate cake, just maybe not milk chocolate. Whereas they've taken Superman and been like, we've added caramel.
Well, and
so it's not pure chocolate.
This might be splitting hairs, but would you say that's a reboot or remake?
I would say reimagining. I would think a remake is shot for shot, kind of like Psycho.
Like what they did with Psycho, yeah.
All right, so...
Except without the making macaroni sounds.
Oh. So...
That's in the new one. That's
I don't
in the new
quite
one.
Know what that means, but I don't think I need that information.
Let me just say, Anne Heche, close your blinds!
Well, it's like Evil Dead. I see it. That's definitely a reimagining, because it is the same story they took. They didn't reboot anything. They just reimagined.
You mean the new one?
Yeah,
the new Psycho.
No.
Evil Dead. So you said that's a reimagining.
I think that's
not
a reimagining, because it's the same story in principles, but they just revamp it in a way that's just
the Ash character.
Well, even more so,
female.
Yeah.
Even more so in that they're taking that universe and combining the two universes in a new sequel coming out, and they're going to do a new Army of Darkness, which will take that old evil, the new Evil Dead.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I'm so excited right now.
they're going to basically mesh these new characters with Bruce Campbell and his stuff, and they're making
a movie. You said they're bringing Bruce Campbell into it?
Yeah, they're going to make another Evil Dead movie.
Talks of it.
They're going to make, the way I've heard, they're making another Evil Dead movie in the original franchise, and then they're going to link the two franchises together.
So they're going to do an Evil Dead 2 reimagining, and then do an Army of Darkness reimagining?
They're doing a new Army of Darkness.
I am so excited.
No, not a reimagining. It will be a sequel.
Like Army of Darkness.
And then they're going to combine the universes. So they'll be both Ashes.
Now, I'm seriously excited right
if
now.
If they're combining the universes, would that still be a reimagining?
Yeah, it's even more so a reimagining, I think, because you're reimagining...
Or would those just be, like, an alternate universe?
Well, here's a good example of that. Here's a very good example.
My head hurts, right?
Star Trek.
Loops.
Star Trek is really weird, because it's a reboot, but it's also, it's rebooting, it's going back to the beginning, and it's saying, let's start over, here's a point. Let's say both universes have this point, and then they reboot it from that point, and then they diverge. And Star Trek demonstrates that. And when I say Star Trek, I mean the new franchise of movies. They demonstrate that.
The sucky one.
The J.J. Abrams.
The reimagined.
The lens flare one. The lens flare.
Yeah, the lens flare.
The fast Star Trek. Edit.
I love lens
two
flares.
Dimension.
Oh, I can't see
but, Star Trek.
I still like it, though, but I can see...
I
know not, crap when I step in it.
I would put a lens flare on this if I could.
That would be so great. Can you have a sound flare?
Yes, a sound flare right now.
That just means I'm muted.
Yes.
So,
where we can see your outline, but we can't actually hear what you're saying.
Or you just see like
screaming and gesturing.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Yeah, they still have original or characters from the original series, though. So even though they are rebooting it, it's still technically a sequel.
How do you feel about them, though? How does everybody feel about... Because, honestly, if you do a reboot, I don't care. I'm willing to give a reboot a shot. I'm one of the only people I know that really liked F13, Friday the 13th, whenever it came out. I went and saw it. It was a mashup of ideas from the first, second, and third Friday the 13th movies from the 80s. I thought they did it hilariously, whereas some of it was tongue-in-cheek. It knew what it was, but yet it did fan service. It said, this is what you love about Friday the 13th, and this is what we're doing. And I know a lot of people were just like, eh, it was too, blah, blah, and why did they use caves? Who cares? They said, this is how he gets from one place to another really fast, is he lives underground like a human retarded mole man, I guess.
I think, sure.
I mean, I think you can't have the original in mind when you're seeing a reboot. It's not fair because you're going to be comparing this is this. If you can remove traces of the old one and just watch it for what it is, then I think that's the best way to do it. I love the new Spider-Mans for that reason. Yeah, there's things I like about the other ones better, but if you take those away, is it a great movie on its own? And yeah, I think it's a great movie on its own.
I agree with you completely.
I actually like the new Star Treks because they include parts of the original.
I do too, don't get me wrong.
Right. Well, the thing that I like about that is because the original is so iconic, like so many of us grew up on it, and it's such a part of who we are, it would be very, very, very difficult for me, at least, to watch someone try to redo that and say, no, no, this is what Star Trek is. Like, I'd be like, but no, it's not as good as the original. So for me, having that tie to the past, having the, here is why it's set kind of in that alternate universe, here's why it is sort of a reboot but still tying in, to me, it makes it easier to separate the two, because I just watch it as if it is an alternate universe, not the universe of Star Trek that I grew up on.
Right.
Right. And maybe for like a reboot standpoint, and this hopefully will be some redemption for you, but Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Just dig the grave a little bit more.
Still haven't seen Halloween.
Oh, so I did. Sorry about your rep, dude.
It's okay. I'm not a Rob Zombie nerd.
Right.
Just a Rob Zombie geek. I like his movies. I'm just not.
You're like, I'm more. I like his music more.
Yeah. Like a huge fan of.
Is like a strictly straight up reboot, or I mean remake. Excuse me.
Like Rob Zombies.
Yeah. Like it. He just like.
So he's taking the original Halloween and making a new one, or he already has.
They've already made two now.
Yeah. I'm not the movie guy.
It's like he literally just took the Michael Myers character and just ripped him out and threw him into his own world. Like his mind of how it should be.
That sounds scary.
Which is not.
And you said that's a re what?
I would say a reimagining of it.
All right, I'm gonna be a nerd real fast. Where the original had no blood, like I don't think any blood at all in the movie. I can't remember any blood in the original Halloween. There may have been like a smidge, but there was no like gore. No real gore that we would think of now at all. Not even close. Rob Zombie's Halloween was just like, hey, you forgot to put gore in your movie. At one point, I thought I was the knife that was stabbing some of the victims. There was such insane gore in this movie. Like, I was like, did they just put a camera on somebody's hand and just start stabbing like a pig, like over and over again? And you're just like, oh, like a GoPro, like put a GoPro on a knife and just
get a strap.
Yeah, I had to turn my head a couple times and I was like, whoa, buddy, whoa, calm down.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Well, and that, something else that, talking about reimagining, sometimes it's about going back to the source material, especially if it's a movie that is based on something other than a movie. So you've, let's talk about Conan. Conan based on Robert Howard's
psychotic psychotic delusions.
But his his pulp pulp fiction. And we have Conan the Barbarian, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Conan the Destroyer.
Oh, yeah.
From that. But we also have this new Conan that came out a few years ago that's very different.
California Conan? Cali Conan. Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about the Kevin Sorbo one? Wasn't he in
Conan? That's Hercules. Don't get
crazy. Oh, Hercules.
Yeah, that's Hercules.
Oh, slow your roll, bro.
Come on, Adam. I thought you said Kevin Sorbet. I was like, that sounds deliciously horrible.
They have that at Orange Leaf, actually. But I don't believe it's in season.
This podcast sponsored by Orange Leaf.
Their newest flavor, hot mayonnaise.
I'm sad.
But yeah, so same thing there. I mean, that was kind of a reimagining, going back to the source material and figuring out that the direction, because of course original Conan very, very campy.
Oh baby.
So yeah,
fun camp.
And what's something that maybe is a slight knockoff of Conan, or some people might say is a knockoff of Conan, that is very, very campy? Ashley.
He-Man.
Yes.
Oh, and yeah, space, the Masters space Conan of the Universe. Which is a great example of a reimagining. Talking about the movie, completely reimagined.
Whoa, yeah.
The way the cartoon was set up. Of course, you've got that movie with Dolph Lundgren and Frank Langella.
God bless his bones.
And
Skeletor's bones.
But you know, I still love that movie. I mean, it's
Courtney,
got
Courtney Cox, bro.
It's really odd, but it's still a really good.
Hey, man.
It's a really fun movie.
Can you answer this question for me?
What?
Dude, where was Orko, bro?
Yeah, that's a good question. Where was Battlecat?
Where you at? Where you at, Battlecat? Where you at? I know where he was at. He was breakdancing on the streets. That's where Battlecat was. Battlecat was winning all the rap battles.
That movie's really interesting because it's almost a remake of another thing, because while it's a Master of the Universe movie, it's actually very closely based on The New Gods, which is a comic book by Jack Kirby. And it was basically Jack Kirby was asked to be the storyboard artist, and the studio couldn't afford him to do that. But if you watch it, it actually is more in line to The New Gods. The characters match up to New Gods characters better than they match up to Masters of the Universe characters.
Wow,
yeah,
that's rough. What was the other one that we recently found out about? The Incas?
Oh, Secret of the Incas.
Secret of the Incas. Did you finish watching it?
I did finish watching it.
Was it okay?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's really interesting. No, 1954, Secret of the Incas is a movie with Charlton Heston in it. And Charlton Heston dressed very similarly to someone that we know from a movie that was made in 1981.
Or exactly like him.
And that would be Indiana Jones. Taylor. Now, the interesting thing about this movie as I was watching it is that, yes, he, on the surface, looks very much like Indiana Jones. And the story, roughly, is like an Indiana Jones story. But the character is just like you're watching a prequel to the first Star Wars movie,
really?
A New Hope, because it's like...
You mean the fourth.
You have no idea how many giant slugs are in the Incas.
Yeah. If it was set in space...
Jabba.
If it were set in space, because
I
this character...
Nine.
This character is... the character of Han Solo is so influenced by this character, I believe. I mean, yes, he looks like Indiana Jones, but the character is the guy that you know Han Solo would have been just prior to meeting him in A New Hope.
Right.
And it's really, it's a movie I really recommend watching. I mean, it's a movie that was made in 1954, so it's a little maybe slower paced than you're used to. Still not a bad movie, though. And the interesting thing is the character's not really rectified at the end. Like, he's still kind of a bad guy. He has no redeeming qualities. And the very end, you get like 2 minutes of him being like, maybe I'll consider being a better guy at some point in my life. But right now, I'm going to go off into the sunset and
punch some women.
In the movie.
Does he punch a lot of chicks?
He doesn't punch any women.
I thought at least
does he punch babies?
No, what he does is he swindles women out of their money and then makes fun of them for it.
Oh, so he's Grand Theft Auto.
Even better.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically like, I don't mind taking money from women. She's like, but it's so much money. And he's like, it makes it more fun that way. And takes it and walks off.
Well, he's right. Like, I mean, come on.
I mean, this is Charlton Heston. This is the guy who plays Moses.
Not anymore. That honor's been given to Christian Bale.
Does he growl? I mean, is he like,
Moses. I think he yells. I think what's crazy is he yells at the sun for being unprofessional. It's weird. Super weird.
I'm Moses.
Yeah. Tell your friends about me. And then Michael Keaton just goes, aww.
No, he's like, Pharaoh, I'm going to bring plagues on you. I'm Moses.
That's good.
I hope that is in. That's my new thing.
Yeah, that's a good impersonation. It's really good, Ashley. I think you should talk like that every podcast, actually.
Let's see how long your voice can last like that.
Where were we? My brain completely shut down.
Well, let's... Since we're so... Well, not necessarily so far off topic, but kind of bring it back a little bit. We've been talking about remakes, reboots, reimaginings, knockoffs.
And this conversation could literally go on for so many hours.
So many movies.
Days, maybe.
Yeah, there's movies, there's toys, there's all kinds of things that we're going to be talking about in future podcasts. But what would you say is the difference between each of those definitions? Like, for me,
attitude. A remake...
Sure. For me, a remake is taking basically the exact same source material and trying to do it, you know, scene for scene, shot for shot, or if you're going from the book, trying to match everything as closely as you can, trying to literally remake the content.
Like Roberto Benigni's Pinocchio?
Yes. That's my favorite one. That would be a reimagining.
I think that would be a reimagining.
So remake, just trying to literally copy what was there originally. Reboot, not really trying to stray too far from the original source material, but giving it a new spin, like we talked about with Star Trek, like we talked about with, what was the other one you mentioned earlier that was rebooted? With Spider-Man.
I don't remember, but I just thought of one that Michael Bay is rebooting. Teenage Mutant to Ninja Turtles?
Oh, no.
Well, and then they're still from space. Are they still not turtles anymore?
I don't know. Speaking of Michael Bay, and he's doing a new Transformers movie, which is technically a sequel, but what they're calling it is a soft reboot because it's very subtly.
I was curious about this. Well, I'm not sure if this will interrupt, but like, do you think reboot is used after a certain amount of years?
No, reboot is, in my opinion,
you know.
I mean, I think it is, but the reboot is when the story starts over, where you give it a starting point where you don't really have to see. Well, Shia LaBeouf isn't even in this one.
Oh, he's not.
But for instance, like a reboot is basically going back and starting over, right? So you got Spider-Man. We were talking about Spider-Man. You've got the first Spider-Man franchise, and you've got the second Spider-Man franchise. Uh-huh. You don't have to see the other to see this one,
right?
So it's a reboot. It's starting over. There's no connection between the two. They're completely separate entities.
Right. But they're also still based very closely off of the source material.
Off the source material, but that doesn't mean that the story is the same.
So basically they're going to reintroduce all the characters again?
In this Transformer one,
yeah,
it's really interesting because it's still the same characters and they still had those adventures, but they're setting it in a way where they're even changing their forms. They're basically using
So, like, Shia LaBeouf got married and decided to know...
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, they're using the story to change it where, okay, I don't really have to see this at this point,
right.
Anything before it, to enjoy this story.
Okay.
The other ones were very similarly based on the other one. Like, you really needed... You didn't need to see it necessarily, but the story, if you wanted to understand the story. Although,
cared more about
to
the
say,
characters.
Right. This one, it's going to be easier to just jump into, but it technically is in the same universe.
I see.
Where, when we were talking about Doctor Who, when the new series came out, it was not rebooted. It was actually continued on. Some people were concerned about, you know, whether they're going to reboot it. No, they're not, because it actually started with what we thought at the time is the Ninth Doctor.
Well, every time he dies or regenerates, he's rebooted. So
yeah, in a way.
But it's all still within the same universe.
Oh, yeah, the same characters he fights over and over again, Dalek, Neon. But, anyway... I really enjoyed the Doctor Who Ninja Turtles crossover that I just made up.
That's great. That's insane. Totally happens.
Yeah. I really did just make that up.
The TARDIS is shaped like a turtle shell.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And Doctor Who sticks his head out.
So then, you guys are defining a reboot as basically something that you don't have to know about the previous to be able to enjoy it. So, like, this new Star Trek would be a reboot in a way.
It's weird. That one's weird because it's a reboot, and at the same time, it's a continuation.
I mean,
basically,
this is what
a reboot is. In Star Trek's case, I think it's the best example because it literally reboots to the point where those adventures in the original series never happened in this universe. It starts at a point before and it retells the story, and they don't have to tell that. Now, in the second one, I don't want to do spoilers, but there's a character that is a major character that shows up that is very much part of canon.
Is he wearing a red shirt?
in that one, in the original series, but comes back.
I think he actually does.
Yeah. So your view is more, you're enriched if you have that history with the other things, but it's not pivotal to understand the story. Is that kind of...
Well, they're not even the same universe, oftentimes. Yeah, they're completely separate. Separate entities.
Taking Star Trek, for instance, there's... I don't want to give any spoilers either, but there's another main character that is giving advice who actually existed in this other universe, who is giving advice to other people. So it's kind of like...
Well, that isn't a spoiler. That's actually pretty early on in the first movie. I mean, you're talking about Spock.
Yeah.
I just don't think we know.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying, like, for that, I mean, they're not ignoring what happened in the other one, because this character, Spock, does know what happens, and he will
talk to the new Spock. And that's why that movie's really odd. It's both. Like, that movie is a really interesting example, because it's both. It's both a continuation and a reboot.
Whereas Spider-Man, this new Spider-Man, would be more of a reboot because you don't have to know anything about the other one to appreciate this one.
We talked about the difference between those reboots and reimaginings, right?
Yes.
Now you can have a reboot that is a reimagining. Mm-hmm. So it could be both. You don't have to have one or the other there.
A reimagining would be like what George Lucas did with Howard the Duck.
Yes. There's nothing that ties into the source material. Except for the name.
Why does that duck have nipples?
You got me.
Why doesn't
it? It needs to be edgy.
Let's put nipples on one duck. All right, sure.
All right. That's quackers.
Oh. Right?
No.
Laser sounds and stuff?
Pew, pew.
Okay.
Where's my sound flare?
we need some of those sound flares.
Yes.
Whereas a reimagining, that, like you said, completely throwing out the source material. Maybe keeping something around of the original?
You would have to, because that would be like... Here's a graham cracker. Here's a cheeseburger. This cheeseburger is a reimagining of this graham cracker. No.
Whereas you eat both of them, and that's where the soul tie is.
What if we had a cheeseburger with graham crackers?
That sounds delicious.
Now you sound like Sonic.
Paula Deen.
This episode brought to you by Sonic.
The newest version of the Luther. So, sorry. Lost my train of thought.
Yeah, it's cool. Laugh at your own jokes. That's awesome. Everybody loves somebody that laughs at their own jokes.
Lost my train of thought.
All right. I'm sorry. No, I lost our train of thought.
I remember now.
Sorry, crew.
The previews for I, Frankenstein. Don't know anything about it except for those previews.
That it looks terrible.
That it looks god-awful.
Really? I saw it, and I thought it looked amazing.
No.
You have all those Frankenstein monsters flying down and hitting things with wings, and it looks amazing.
Here is my biggest question, because, again, I've not seen anything except for that one preview. Are all of these creatures made by Dr. Frankenstein? If not, if they're saying that the name of the creature...
Well, you haven't seen the story yet.
That's what I'm saying. I know nothing about it.
I don't think
you
can base that on the preview.
Started out with I know nothing about it except for the preview. But it's called I, Frankenstein. So my assumption is...
That Apple made them.
Yes.
Mad scientist hacked up Steve Jobs and put his brain inside the body of other hacked up individuals.
Yes.
Specifically, roided out body.
Now, parts. I might not get this right. I'm not sure. I've only seen the trailer like once, I think. And I think it says that it's by the same guys that did Underworld.
Right. And that makes sense. You know,
is it set watching, in the same universe as Underworld?
I don't know. But if it's I, Frankenstein, if they're basing it at all on Frankenstein's monster, that is going to obviously be a horrible reimagining.
Sounds like a comic book, actually.
It looks like a comic book.
Should we probably fact check that real quick? Anybody? Because
sure.
I would almost put money on this is from a comic book because lots of movies these days that are really far-fetched are based off or loosely based off of comics.
I think they're not that intelligent. I think they purely are just making this because you equate Frankenstein with the story of a guy being reanimated. Yeah. So this is a movie about somebody who's been reanimated, and I think that's the only connection.
And well, here's the thing. I mean, you've got this guy that he created Underworld. I mean, it's going to be just a romp. It's a movie that is a romp. Mm-hmm. In that case. Now, the Underworld movies, the first one, it's all right. I mean, it's not a great movie, but I mean, it's a fun turn off your mind and go for it. Now, talking about reimaginings and thing and talking about Underworld like got sued for like not being a reimagining, but just stealing from White Wolf, which is a company that makes games, makes role-playing games. They do this game called Vampire the Masquerade. At the time, it was Masquerade.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And basically, like, Sony, like, actually lost a lawsuit for this movie. And so that's something about reimagining, too. At what point are these things... I mean, as long as they go about it legally, it's no big deal. But at what point is something reimagining? And at what point is it kind of stealing?
To answer your question, yes, it is based off of a graphic novel.
Okay.
So it is a remake of the graphic novel,
so it might be as cool as
reimagining of the original Frankenstein,
or I Frankenstein could just be really terrible graphic novel that did well in certain groups of folk.
Now, would that be an adaptation? Actually,
it would. It could just be. It could just be a crap adaptation, and so it's not really that. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. But you know what? Frankenstein movie is not like the one Sting did.
I like the fact that this movie apparently has something called The Queen of the Gargoyles. So that'll be fun.
Oh, hey. Booty call.
Is this right? Is Gargoyle? Queen of the Damned?
Yes.
Reimagining of Queen of the Damned.
Okay.
Let's.
Too soon.
Yeah, I want a reboot of Back to the Future. That's really what I want.
See, really? I'm drawing the line, okay, look, and you're out.
I had one question, and that was, what's your problem? One movie that you would never want to see rebooted or remade or reimagined?
I just want more Back to the Future. Okay. That's really my whole thing. I don't want to discredit or discard anything. I love the original series.
Well, then push play again, buddy.
Exactly.
No, but see, there's so many things that you... Well, never mind. I clearly am...
No, this is good for the podcast. Yeah. I'll be quiet.
Okay, you scare me. Okay, no, see, I feel like the story wasn't finished. Okay, maybe not a reboot. Maybe...
You just want another sequel.
Yeah, I want another sequel, but the thing is, I can't imagine a sequel without Marty McFly, and I wouldn't want anybody else to play Marty McFly except for Michael J. Fox.
It can be done, it just won't be very fun.
But I hate when they just...
He can still play Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Anyway.
No, I mean, seriously, he's a...
Shake again.
Of you who couldn't see, he was doing something horrible.
Yeah.
I actually can't imagine Back to the Future without Doc Brown. I could see it without Marty. I could see, like, Marty's kids, because that... I could see a good sequel following his kids, because that's where it ended. We have to save your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Not the sequel, but that's...
Yeah, no, I understand. That's where the trilogy ended, yeah.
That would be a great place to go.
Perfect.
Doc Brown.
Perfect Marty McFly. Zac Efron, yo. Zac Efron.
America's Sweetheart.
Okay.
And like 1999.
Seth Rogen, bro.
Or 19...
Seth Rogen.
As Marty McFly.
As Seth Marty Rogen. McFly.
What? Megan Fox.
Megan Fox as...
Well, you know what?
Michael Bay.
Megan is making the...
Michael Bay. Seth Rogen, however, did do... 21 Jump Street,
okay.
Which actually was
Seth Rogen did not. That's
all of these possibilities. All these possibilities have made me realize I do not want a reboot. If these people are going to be in the movie, I don't want it anymore.
Maybe wrong.
Well, see, and that's
checking, bro.
That's some of the complication about the reboots, the remakes, is you love something so much. It's what we grew up on. It's what influenced us. It's what made us who we are. So you want more of it, but will making more of it just completely destroy what it is that we grew up on.
If Seth Rogen is in it, yes, it would.
So,
well, you know what? It's a Back to the Future was a while back, and there's new humans that were born that
27 years
don't give a crap about it, honestly. So, for them to get a new one, is it so bad for them to get a new one? Because maybe that would make them curious of the old one. So it would be up to them. You know what I mean?
I just think there's
more to tell. Well, I will say this. I mean, talking about that kind of thing with Doctor Who, the same thing. You've got, like, this new influx of fans. And then you've got... And I'm actually seeing... I know I've said different things about new fans and stuff before, but the thing
Ashley
is...
Ashley loves new Who fans.
But my point is, there's an influx of these fans who are actually going back and exploring the original series now, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, that might be a chance. Now, I don't think, like, talking about Back to the Future, I don't know if it works as a reboot. I think it's so good, you don't need to reboot it. But you could continue it. I would be good with that. I think that would be... I'm not saying they should. I'm saying if you were going to do it, I would much rather that happen than you reboot it and recast. I mean, think about recasting Star Wars. I mean, I think about this a lot.
You can't see it in your head.
You can't see it in your head. I mean, who plays Luke Skywalker? Like, all I can think about is...
Luke Wilson.
Actually, all I can think about playing Luke Skywalker is Elijah Wood. I don't know why, but I just see Elijah Wood. I'm not saying he would be good at it, but it would be a weird movie, and I figure that's who they would cast. They would cast someone like that.
Really weird movie.
I can see Elijah Wood as Orko in the new Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
But I can't. No.
And
no.
Hugh Jackman is Han Solo.
Princess Leia maybe, but not.
The only problem
as long as he doesn't sing
with like a reboot of Back to the Future is that they're gonna update everything, which you can't have Back to the Future without the DeLorean. Which of course they would do like the throwback, like you'll see it drive by and like, oh, look at that car, and it's a Ford Focus.
But you realize what would happen? Someone
just fall out of it.
Some company would buy the rights, and they would make the Ford DeLorean or whatever, and then they were like, hey, look, and then we would all get DeLoreans, so that would be cool because they'd actually produce it. So maybe,
there is a ton of product placement in Back to the Future.
Yes, there is.
It's too bad it didn't work for DeLorean, but
Wait.
Maybe Ford's got its hands on it.
Well, if Marty McFly was snorting coke off the hood of the DeLorean,
So you guys don't think there's any way a sequel could work? Nobody else here thinks it could work.
I apologize for a reboot.
I agree with you.
No, the reboot's gonna happen, whether we like it or not.
It might be another 20 years.
Don't speak that into existence.
Well, isn't there like 25 years that a company has the rights before they have to...
Yeah, and that already passed.
Speaking of which,
I have the 25th year anniversary.
So someone's either bought the rights already and they're holding on to it?
I don't know
I don't know how that works.
I don't know how exactly that works.
Well, I can't wait for the giant grab of everybody to do their version of Sherlock Holmes since it's public domain now.
Well, they have been. Have you not noticed? There's like four TV shows.
Well, when are we going to do our own? Let's cash in on that puppy.
There's the movie. There's Sherlock from Stephen Moffat and the BBC.
The Lucy Liu. Sherlock where she's watching.
That's nice.
It actually is a much better version than I thought it was when I first started watching. Anywho, all of these things, I'm positive we're going to be talking about all these specifics.
We will.
In future episodes, because I mean, how long have we been going on about this? We're going to talk about him.
Talking in circles.
So, to kind of wrap things up, going off of Adam's comment of what he would love to see remade, what is the one piece of content, whether it's movie, TV, comics, whatever, that you would love to see remade, and what's the one that you would hate to see? Like, you would rather claw your eyes out than see this put on screen. So, best and worst. What do you want to see? What do you not want to see?
It's too early, but I would not want to see a Lord of the Rings or a Hobbit remake. I feel like that is great the way it is.
Those are remakes. Backy? No, Wait, I mean, on. Okay. I know there was a cartoon movie. I know there was a
cartoon movie. Yeah, boy.
I'm saying what we have now, I don't want to see anybody else take what is here now and them try to redo it. I think that what he's done is great, and I'm very happy with it. That's also core to who I am, though. I grew up on that. That's shaped a lot of what my interests and passions are.
He's directing a Doctor Who episode. His only payment is a Dalek. No joke.
Well, awesome. Let me tell you, like I would hate to see them remake Catwoman.
Well, I hate the fact that they made Catwoman. So
and so does the director. If you look up how many movies he's done, commercials and Catwoman, and then he fell off the face of the earth. So, God bless you. Any movie or something I would like to see reimagined? I can't, but I do know they're in talks to bring back one of my favorite subjects, which is Ernest. The Ernest franchise. They're thinking about bringing back as Son of Ernest or something like that. No, they're not going to reanimate Jim Varney.
Come on, why not?
Jim Varney in I, Frankenstein. You know what I mean, Vern? But, I lost all the jokes that were about to vomit out of me, but it doesn't matter anymore because Son of Ernest may happen. And if it's anything like...
You should see the faces around here. Everyone's just like, just staring down. They're just down and out.
Yeah, so...
Ernest was enough in what it was. We don't need any kind of reimagining.
Rest in peace, Slinky Dog.
Oh, jeez.
That's a downer.
Kevin, what about you?
Time Cop?
Oh, yeah, actually. No.
is that the one that you don't want ever to be touched? Or do you want to see more
never
of them doing splits?
Never touch it.
Never touch Time Cop.
Let it be... forever.
What if he remade it now, though?
What if they remade RoboCop?
Are you not happy about this?
I have mixed feelings.
Well, he read some
RoboCop, and then we'll talk. I'm like, I want them to remake RoboCop.
I have mixed feelings about it. Based purely off of one preview and one internet article. So granted, limited information.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, okay, that seems very thought out.
I want to see... Okay, so... I guess it's an adaptation, just to see if they... I doubt they would, you know, actually get the casting right and the directing, but...
I would like
to see Cowboy Bebop sort of CGI, or even... Not even live action, I don't know. Something Cowboy Bebop would be cool. That's just me, though.
That is a good call.
I would love to see...
Gross.
I just want to see if they actually could cast it really well.
It would have to be cast really well to do, because those characters are so... Well, they're just really good characters.
Well, what's crazy is like how great, maybe I'm going to get crap, but I don't think so, how good Hellboy looked.
Oh, so good.
It looked amazing.
I did enjoy Hellboy.
I love that movie. That's one of the best.
It's actually possible to transfer Paige or from the cartoon.
I shouldn't even bring it up at this point, but I mean, The Avengers was fantastic also. And
so you're saying
great...
that's what you want to be remade?
No. No.
All right, Ashley, what are you?
I want to... There's been talk for years of them doing it, but I really want to see a Master of the Universe movie. Like, a good one. And there's talks, and I don't know if it'll ever happen.
I'll get on that, Dorian.
So that's what I would love. That's what I would love to see remade. I honestly don't know. I mean, sometimes things that you're like, oh, that's horrible.
Really,
I don't
want to
see that.
You can't think of anything that you don't want anyone ever reboot and remake. And
I don't know if I ever want them. There's certain things that you just don't want
50 years worth that you don't want redone.
Jurassic Park?
Honestly, I don't think I said what I didn't. Like, honestly.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
But probably any of my favorite, like, John Hughes movies. I don't want you to touch what John Hughes did, because it's really 80s feely. Touchy, squeezy. No.
The good kind.
No. The good kind.
The good,
not the hot
kind of
mayonnaise.
Squeezy.
But, yeah. If there was a Ferris Bueller, I would puke. If there was 16 Candles, I would puke. Breakfast Club, I would hate it. I would... I'm really emotionally attached. Like, I think in a terrible way to those movies. You could remake Baby's Day Out. I could give a flip. But don't do Home Alone, even though he did do Home Alone 2, which is Home Alone. But you know what?
In New York.
Those are
It's like Die Hard for kids. Those are,
you know, it could have used some more Alan Rickman, but you know, that would seriously have to be mine. Like, if somebody was like, "We're redoing Ferris Bueller with Zac Efron," I just punch so many babies.
Why babies?
I don't. That's
so Ashley. You got don't want them to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, yeah, the obvious thing is Doctor Who, but I mean, they've had their go at that. I think I'm pretty safe on that for a while.
Seems like it.
Till you're dead. So I'm going to say, I mean, I think the obvious thing is something like, now that Disney has the rights to a lot of things, but the Lucasfilm stuff, they also do have the rights to they not only have the rights to Star Wars, they also have partial rights to Indiana Jones.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it just came out a few days ago that they said they will make an Indiana Jones 5. So they're going to continue making sequels.
With Zac Efron.
They're going to continue making sequels, but I hope those things aren't rebooted, because you can't have... I mean, some things are so tied to actor, and you can't have those characters be anything else. I mean, obviously you can. There's plenty of things that have been rebooted or remade that
were awesome.
That were awesome. I mean, but then you look at things like...
The Thing...
But you look at things like...
Not the prequel.
You look at things like Dark Shadows that was made recently, which is a really different take on things, but you're just like...
It's a reimagining. It's
not, yeah, really reimagining.
Completely.
Like, is that... I mean, The Lone Ranger. Do I need to say anything else? I mean...
Abomination.
Some things just don't need to happen.
The story of Tonto, or... How Johnny Depp hates American Indians for 2.5 hours.
So, so yeah, just those things. I can't just name a thing.
Yeah, it's hard. Like,
yeah,
yeah. I guess I would say the one that I just do not want remade would be Firefly. I love that show so much. It is.
I think you're safe.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's not going to be,
because nobody's remaking Red Dwarf. Nobody's...
Well, they're making a new Red Dwarf, though.
But with the same dudes. They're
continuing,
dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're continuing with,
because
like,
60... Because this franchise still exists.
60-year-old
And see, the thing
dudes.
Is, Firefly still exists as a franchise, because they're still making comics, and I'm not so sure we won't eventually get something else Firefly.
Well, and if Joss Whedon came back and just did more Firefly, totally good.
Sure.
But someone going back and trying to redo it...
Yeah, yeah, just...
That would completely destroy it. As far as something that I would love to see remade, you touched on it with the Lucasfilms, I would love to see a good version of episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. I mean, I would be down with those being
remade. A bunch of children born in the 90s hate you right now.
That's okay.
But a bunch of children from the 80s love you right now, so we're all right.
I think I fell asleep in each one of those movies. I went and saw them in the theater, and I fell asleep. I really enjoyed number 3. Because it was so ridiculous, and at the end, whenever he doesn't have any lips, and he's like, "I hate you," I was like, "Yes, the lava pits." Oh, what am I watching? Beautiful.
Yeah, I think
beautiful.
I lost a little bit of my soul during each of those movies, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Kingdom Hearts.
No, I already went. Everybody disagrees with what I think, so.
That's
okay.
Yeah,
I'm entitled to my opinions.
I really think we all hated your opinion.
I really think that's true.
Yeah, it was terrible. Like, my feelings were just like, really? Why? But you know what? Maybe it just stems from your love of, you know?
Yeah, well, The Lord of the Rings, I really do like what Peter Jackson did, and I don't want anybody to touch that. Not in my lifetime, anyway.
Yeah.
If 100 years go by and they have great, you know, virtual reality, well, yeah, okay, go ahead, go for it. I won't be live, but
that's pretty great.
I think we will have some cool hologram action.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, and, you know, like you said, because of his love for it, and that's pretty much what defines us. The things that we love, we either love them so much that we just want more and more and more, or we love them so much that no one can touch them because they're only going to destroy our sense of nostalgia and what we grow up on.
Yeah.
But like I said, we're definitely going to touch on each of these topics again. So that's been SciFighters episode 2. Thanks for sticking around, and come back and check us out again.
Yeah, check us out. We're New Monster Project on YouTube.
NewMonsterProject.com.
ChaosAndLogic.com.
No, chaosandlogic.blogspot.com.
We have too many places.
When you guys say that together, it really sucks. All right.
But you can find everything on newmonsterproject.com. That will link you to all of our different projects, everything that we've been doing.
Watch our videos and like. And hey, why don't you subscribe? Because we can only go up from here, right, guys?
Yay!
I'm Lucas. I'm the red shirt. I'm out.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Adam.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Nathan.
And we'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.